and welcome to this episode of Retain FM. My name is Pete Everett, and today I'm joined by the delightful Scotsman of Scotsmen, Mr. Bob Gentle. Bob, how are you doing?
I am very well. It's always a thrill to be back with Pete Everett. There's nothing I like better.
Oh, well, I'm very honoured. I'm very honoured. I'm honoured to have you because Bob and I know each other, I'd say, pretty well. That's maybe a bold statement to make on a podcast recording when you haven't run this past the other person.
I'm going to literally say you're probably one of my favourite people, so you're safe.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
Usually best friends usually suggest people have spent time together physically from time to time. But I'm sure I've spoken to you more than I've spoken to most people over the last 12 months. So you're on a small list of people I speak to regularly.
So thanks to a global pandemic, I have risen to the echelons of Bob's wish list. No, I'm kidding. No, but Bob and I do speak very regularly, and he is a sound gentleman and a Scotsman, if you can't tell from the accent. And well, Bob, do you have been on the show before, but it was ages ago, and that's my fault on a number of counts, largely because I took a big chunk of time off last year, but also because I didn't invite you back soon enough either. So for those that haven't listened to episode 30 something, I think it was, that you were on, and we're now on 130 something, do you just want to explain a bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, well, who I am and what I do has kind of changed a lot over the years. And I think when I was on your show last time, I was essentially an agency owner, if I'm not mistaken, because it was a while ago.
I believe you were.
My business has changed quite a lot. I don't really do any done-for-you services at all anymore. It's all what you would call retained services. So I work now with people who are on what you might call a personal brand business journey. That covers an awful lot of different kinds of people, but my clients tend to be either business owners or business executives who want to be visible within their own marketing. A lot of people, they don't want to be visible in their own marketing. And at some point they realize, you know what, if I showed up in my content, if I showed up and built an audience rather than a market share, I would just cut through better. So in that, there are a lot of personal challenges, logistical challenges, emotional challenges, and technical stuff as well. So I really help package all that together for them and offer them almost like a strategic advisory role with a coaching element, and also a degree of tech support. So that probably covers 80% of my business. In my career, I think I've had what you might call a traditional day job for about 2 years. And I'm nearly 50 now. So I've been doing this for a while, but alongside that, I've spent about 15 years in search and rescue as a volunteer, running a search and rescue team in the north of Scotland, and I've spent time in the Army Reservists just to make sure I have a bit of diversity because life gets a bit dull. So that's me. And for fun, I snowboard and I surf very badly.
Wow. I didn't know you did the surfing, I must admit. We do have a shared love of winter sports, which is...
Yeah.
I must admit, I prefer two planks instead of just the one, but that's... Actually, I've never tried snowboarding. In all fairness, I've always skied.
Snowboarding is not something you can just try. It's painful. I remember just trying snowboard. I learned to ski as a kid, and I really enjoyed it, but I haven't skied as an adult at all. But recently, my younger son grew out of his ski boots, so I've got them now. So I'm looking forward to trying it again.
Yeah, yeah, it's great fun. I love just being in the mountains, and it's revitalizing and disconnecting from the world in equal measure. It's a fantastic winter sports are phenomenal. I've only been into them for the last 4 or 5 years, and sort of thinking, where have you been for the rest of my life? It was they're brilliant. Anyway, we digress.
Yes.
So I look, the last time you were on. You're right. You were still an agency owner, and Well, you work, I was going to say you were going through quite a big change, which is maybe quite a dubious way of putting it. But when we first met, you were stepping out into this big new brave world of your own personal brand and moving away from your standard agency work, let's call it that. And you were a self-confessed introvert at the time. I don't know whether you'd still classify yourself as that, but you were that at the time. And you were, but you have completely transformed your business to get out of, you got rid of all of your staff, essentially. you got rid of all of your projects, essentially, and yet you still make money. So you've, do you want to unpack a little bit of that journey and how that's made sense for you?
Yeah, I mean, in many respects, this does feel like a very, very long time ago, but actually it really isn't. Yeah, I mean, if you go back, what's actually only a few years, I was running where I lived at the time, which is the northeast of Scotland, was one of the biggest digital agencies. But it was just a cash-eating monster. We had great turnover, but it didn't seem to matter what I did in this business. It never made any actual money that I could use. And I just got more and more and more frustrated. And there's a story I'm going to tell one day. I'm not ready to tell it, but it is probably one of my biggest humiliations. And I just got to a breaking point. And at that breaking point, I read Mike Michalowicz's Profit First.
Yeah.
And I got somewhere like chapter 2, got so angry, threw this book across what at that point was an empty office. Everyone had gone for the day and realized something had to change. If it didn't, I was going to be just buried. And lots of people will recognize the stress and the distress of a corporation tax bill if you're in the UK. When you haven't prepared for it. And every year that trauma just got worse and worse. So I decided one day, okay, I have a blossoming digital marketing side of the business that was doing okay. It was all retained revenue. And then I had this website division of the business that was just a millstone. It just always lost money. So I said, okay, you guys, you're all going to be contractors, you give me a fixed cost for these projects. I'll give the client a fixed cost. I'll have a fixed margin. I'm so smart. This will be great. And we did that for about 2 months. And then it became apparent, hey, I don't need to sell these anymore. Because even having them, I still get distracted in the project management. And I didn't need them because all the cost was gone. So then I started focusing on the digital marketing side of things exclusively. And as time went on, it became obvious that there were two kinds of client. There were the kind of clients that just wanted me to come and wave the magic wand, generate leads, and they didn't want to participate. They just wanted it done for them. And those people, I wasn't adding any value that somebody else couldn't. And then in parallel to this, I was also focusing on, you know what, I don't want to be anybody's commodity. I want people to come to me because they like me, because they understand my value and my values. And the only way that I'm going to do this is by showing up, particularly online. Additionally, my business was built exclusively through referrals, which a lot of people love. But the problem with referrals is they're inherently difficult to scale because they depend on you maintaining a large number of relationships. And that's actually very time consuming. And if you live in a small town, as I did, there's a natural limit to what you can accomplish with that. But I knew people and I could see people online were doing things differently. They were being visible online. They were building their personal brands. They were building relationships at scale. And they were productizing quite differently. And I thought, that just looks like a much more systematic and frankly relaxing way to do business. But it brought a lot of personal challenge. And as you said, I am an introvert. I found personal visibility extremely painful initially. And I remember my first podcast interviews, I was just jelly, but I had strategic clarity, but the execution of that strategy was emotionally painful. And I remember thinking to myself one day, as I mentioned previously, I did about 15 years in search and rescue, and I've seen some horrible things, and I've had to pick up bodies from the bottom of cliffs and do CPR on people coming out of helicopters and all kinds of crazy stuff, swimming into people's houses in the middle of the night with a raging river on one side and a whirlpool on the other. And a lot of people would look at that and think, you know what, Bob, that looks a lot scarier than doing a YouTube video. And you would be right. But I looked at, well, how do you become accustomed to that? How do you train somebody to do that? And it goes something like, you stand on the edge and you watch other people do it for months. And then they let you come a little bit closer and you can actually see the feet of the body rather than the whole body. Mm. And then gradually you come closer and closer and you'd be slowly desensitized to what for other people would be traumatic. And I thought, well, why can't I apply this to becoming personally visible? And so that's what I did. I just gradually built it out. And so that now a live stream or a YouTube video or a podcast interview, they're perfectly normal now, whereas they were hugely painful. And so this leads me to where I am now, which is I help other people on that journey. That's probably the lion's share of what I'm doing. I help them with the strategic framework of what are they doing, when are they doing it. Then I help them with the tactical implementation sometimes when they need it, with the tech support element, but predominantly it's helping them identify where are the ninja points, the levers they should be focusing on right now, and helping them to actually do it.
So this, essentially, you've not just, you didn't just sort of step out of that agency model and into something else. I think one of the things that, as I've sort of accompanied you, I suppose, and that is honestly how I feel with the way that you generate content, is you do guide, you do guide the people that are around you with you. You know, you're not one of those people. We've all seen them, those gurus that go and hire a Ferrari and sit outside a stately home for 3 hours, take some photos, and then go and Facebook market the you know what out of it. You're not one of those. Your style, and if you've been listening to Bob for the last few minutes, you'll know that, or you should start to experience that, it's very much kind of a sort of put the virtual arm around you and come on, let's figure this out together. We'll you've kind of taken that mentality that you were doing for yourself and then rolled that into a business. I was going to say a coaching package, but it isn't really a coaching package because it's not, it's more than that. It's business mentorship, it's coaching, it's tech support, as you've sort of said, for the select few. It's kind of a unique bespoke thing to help people understand their own personal brand, and even if they sort of, I suppose your clients all know that they need or have a personal brand. I guess you're not really teaching them exactly, hey, you need this, but that's maybe all they know. From that point onwards, Mr. Bob Gentle, he's your man.
Well, I would like to think so. I think the thing with personal brand is it's something people say all the time, as if it was some kind of mythical vehicle that was going to change your life. But the truth is, everyone has a personal brand. A brand, as they say in marketing, is what people say about you when you're not in the room.
Yep.
So everybody has a personal brand. Are you taking charge of that? Are you cultivating it? Are you actually understanding it? Are you, because at the end of the day, it has to begin with knowing yourself. Because if you don't know yourself, anything that you create subsequently is going to be based on perhaps misunderstanding, perhaps falsehood, perhaps wishful thinking. There was one of my podcast guests was a lady who made soap. And when I saw her, she was one of the rare occasions where I accept a spontaneous sort of, I'd like to come on your podcast. But there was something there, and I thought, soap. She makes soap. But she had turned making... She made soap at home, and she'd sold it in farmer's market. And from that, she'd built a $27 million business. And I thought, hang on a minute. This is something lots of people do at home, and they sell it in farmer's markets and car boot sales and craft sales, and they don't turn it into $27 million businesses. So I wanted to know what she'd done differently. And I asked her, and she said, here's the thing. Your business will grow when you grow. And I thought, yes, this is the thing. And this is really what brought me to my particular space within personal branding, I guess. It's, we all have access to the same information. Anything you want to know about personal branding or digital marketing or anything, just go and look on YouTube. All the information is there. And so if we all have access to the same information, why don't we all see the same results? And it's because we don't do the same things. We don't bring the same attitudes. We're just not walking the walk a lot of the time. So it's helping people, I guess, hold up a mirror to themselves somewhere, understand where they need to grow, and then helping them with the tools and the strategies around that. Because personal brand is one thing, building your authority and your visibility, and yes, even the monetization, that's tech a lot of the time. But what is it at the end of the day? And it should grow. The truth is, if you dropped me into Russell Brunson's business or Tony Robbins' business today, I'd destroy it in a week. Because I'm not the person that I would need to be. I haven't cultivated the qualities that I would need to have in order to be effective in those roles.
Yep. I'm impressed you'd last a week, to be honest. you'd be able to count my sort of tenure in that role in hours. Maybe even minutes, but certainly hours.
But here's the thing. There's a process of knowing where you're going. And I often use the analogy of the hero's journey. We're all on a journey. And in copywriting and marketing, they always use this concept of the hero's journey. But they talk about it as though it was some kind of artificial abstract. But the truth is, every business owner has their own hero's journey. They have their trials. They have their monsters. They have their personal challenges. And they have their quest. And the better they understand their quest, the more humility they bring to their trials, the more successful they'll be. My role, my dream, my ambition is to be there as the companion and the guide on their hero's journey and helping them reach whatever it is that they want to reach in this quest, and know that when you get there, you're back at the start and it's time to go out again.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you've recently sort of evolved everything you've just said into the term leader brand. And yeah, I noticed you dropped it into a couple of YouTube videos, and you know, have you mentioned it on your podcast yet? I don't know. Maybe I'm jumping.
I think I mentioned it once, yeah.
But essentially that's, well, I'm not going to ruin a definition of it. So do you just want to explain kind of where your thought was from, where that thought came from, and how you moved from personal brand to open quotes leader brand?
I think with leader brand, I'm trying to bring a little bit more intentionality to the conversation on the one hand. Mm-hmm. But also, I guess there are people for whom personal branding doesn't really matter, or I guess it's not critical for them. But there are other people for whom it actually is critical. And if you look at the way the world is going with virtual reality, with personal data becoming something that you can't just take from people anymore. We can't market to people the way that we used to. All the targeting that we used to be able to do is slowly being eroded as marketers. And organizations becoming distributed and virtualized, people working from home a lot of the time. Organizations, and particularly large organizations, they're starting to experience challenges that they've never had before. And it was something I heard actually at Social Media Marketing World, that the currency of the future is going to be belonging, it's going to be community. But if you look at any community, it needs leaders. It needs people that will visibly be there around the campfire to listen. And where staff are feeling commoditized, they're going to be, loyalty is going to be eroded. Where the whole world is going in the direction of virtual reality, personality becomes very important. So there's a lot of people in leadership roles in organizations, both large and small, who now are beginning to realize, I'm going to have to step forwards where historically we've always stepped back. We've let the marketing team lead. It's not going to work anymore. We need to be personally visible. So that's at the corporate level. But within organizations, there are all kinds of leadership roles. Whether it's self-leadership in your administration role, whether it's departmental leadership in an executive role, leadership goes way beyond simply telling people what to do and a few tactics to make people do what you want them to do. Now it requires, it's this whole thing of great leaders don't tell you what to do, they show you what to do. But now you're going to have to show people showing them what to do because you're not in the same space. So that requires sort of micro content within organizations in order that personal brands can exist in organizations as well. So leader brand is really extending the personal brand into, I guess, the corporate environment on the one hand, but also being there to support the small business owner with exactly the same tools, exactly the same techniques, and the same support.
That was something I was going to mention, actually, which is, you know, I know when you mention words like corporate, of course, people think of these mega organizations, you know, like national banks or international conglomerates, Apple, places like that. But actually, everything you've just said is just as true for a small business on a high street somewhere as it is for those multinational conglomerates. There's, you know, okay, so one may be slightly more ingrained with the tactical delivery, let's call it, of their business, and the other may not. But that's more about what they do rather than who they are, or how what they do pans out in their business, I suppose, rather than who they are.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly the same. You can imagine, I have a client who was a little design agency in the northeast of Scotland. Actually, they were my competitor for a long time, which is lovely. And it was a couple, and they wanted to move to Los Angeles. But they didn't have any business in Los Angeles. They had no clients. So they wanted to build their visibility, and they wanted to build their network, and they wanted to start building a client base in Los Angeles without ever being there. So we worked out a strategy for this where they could be visible in Los Angeles, where they could be seen as industry leaders in Los Angeles without ever having to be there. And we did this at the hand of a YouTube channel and a social media strategy. But ultimately, they had to go from being a couple of introverted nerds to deciding, okay, these are the ninja points of visibility that we're going to focus on. We're going to forget about everything else, and we're going to go all in on this. And they had a personal transformation, a content transformation. They have a great YouTube channel now. And last month, they moved permanently to Los Angeles. All of this, they opened an office in Los Angeles. They employed staff in Los Angeles before they ever lived there. So this isn't just about big corporations. This is about the ice cream shop at the end of the road who needs to focus on local business. But what are you doing to build loyalty, to build magnetism, to build vibe and buzz around your business? Because if you're not willing to step up and be visible, all that's left is your product. And ice cream is ice cream. You create a mythology and a story that people can buy into, and a magnetic character that people can rally around. Your business will thrive where others are just kind of doing okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And that transcends your whole customer experience, doesn't it? That is the personification of, I'm going to call him Tim Sinek, but it isn't. I've forgotten his name.
Simon
Sinek.
Yes.
Reason for Why, isn't it? Yeah. How that actually works out in the real world. Now, you did mention something earlier, which was that we all have the same information available to us at this, just YouTube something or Google something. We all have it available, but some people are successful and others aren't. And it's because of what you do with it. Now, I do know that that's something that you've been working on a little bit recently. So can you unpack that a little bit for us? What are your thoughts around why this happens? How is it that Bob Gentle can have such a successful YouTube channel and a podcast and this, that, and the other, whereas I can Google it and I have 36 subscribers? Yes, 36. If anybody listening wants to show a brother some love, go and hit that subscribe button and I might think about doing another video. I jest about that bit. But do you want to expand some of your thoughts around that?
I will. So the first thing, I'm going to talk about YouTube very, very briefly. By most people's measure of a successful YouTube channel, I don't have a successful YouTube channel. You have 36, I have 420. So yes, it's a lot more than you, but by YouTube standards, it's tiny. However, it's successful for me because it generates business and it builds relationships. So what's viral for you is different from what's viral by the web's definition. That's the first thing. So YouTube off to one side, your YouTube channel is just great. I worked with and observed an awful lot of people in this space. And up until fairly recently, I've been focused on what you might call the online entrepreneur. So somebody who wants to build their business, particularly online. And now I'm sort of moving into more general and traditional business and corporate. But as you said, some people, they just thrived, and others, they just seem to spin their wheels. So I tried to work out what are the qualities that seem to drive success and how can I kind of categorize them? And it became really, really obvious that it comes down to seven really clear qualities. And I have called these seven qualities the rather grand and mythological sounding seven blades of good fortune, because it's marketing, Pete. but it boils down to this. First of all, as you mentioned with the Sinek, I can't remember exactly which, Simon or Steve.
It's Simon.
Yeah. But it needs to begin with why. And the main thing to understand with why is you might not know why, and be okay with that. And trust the process. So the one thing that I've definitely discovered is that the why changes once you start moving. A lot of people fail to start moving because the why is unclear. Some people are motivated by money. Some people are motivated by a claim. Other people are motivated by family. Other people are motivated by mission. And usually it's a mix of those. So understanding that is useful, but don't let it hold you back. And understand that once you start moving and things change, that's going to change too. So that really sits at the heart of the wheel of the seven blades. That's what I would call your spark. The seven blades are called the seven blades because these are the seven blades that if you keep them sharp, you'll be successful. It's a given. And these are the seven blades that the most successful people I know sharpen. They sharpen them daily. And the more they progress, the more they hone these blades. Mm-hmm. So the first blade is what you would call dreams and vision. You need to have a fantasy. You need to have the ability to say, you know what? I think that's somewhere I would like to go. And some people really struggle with that. They have very little ability to imagine themselves into a particular future. So for some people, this might be a skill that they need to cultivate or a quality that they need to work on. Obviously, it starts with fantasy. It needs to be consolidated into a clear vision or a written vision statement. And for each of these blades, there are exercises and techniques, but simply understanding where you might be weak will tell you, okay, this is the area I need to cultivate. From there, you'll often know what to do. So the second blade is what I would call discipline and productivity. It's actually rolling your sleeves up and doing the work. A lot of people find this very, very hard. They're easily distracted. They like to procrastinate. Execution is important. The next blade is what I would call network and community. And that's everything from your family, your friends, the people who matter most to your business. Actually, sometimes it might be, I need to know more people in order to be in front of more opportunity. Sometimes that's an online community, but understanding that the community and network in the broad sense is something that matters means that you need to spend a little bit of time on that. And if you're somebody who likes to hide in the cupboard and never speak to people and hope your business is going to thrive, I am sorry to disappoint. So the next blade is what I would call creativity and imagination. It's your ability to have ideas on demand. Some people really, really struggle with this. And for things like social media or content marketing, it's really important. And knowing that it's important, there are ways to cultivate this muscle and to sharpen this blade. The next one is mindset and positivity. Some people, you and I probably immediately think of the same people, are extremely positive people. They will never let the world get them down. They wake up every morning with a smile on their face and they get on with it. And other people get down in the dumps and they struggle to motivate themselves. Some people need to focus on this particular blade a lot. Mm-hmm. The next one for me was particularly important is what I would call the blade of confidence and swagger. You might be a wreck inside, but you need to find ways to present a confident face to the world. That doesn't mean you have to pretend to be someone you're not, but maybe you need to just leave your ego at the door and show up, and that it's not for you, it's for other people. So again, confidence and swagger, there are some skills and exercises that you can work through to try and sharpen that blade. And then the final blade is knowledge and understanding. You need to become a lifelong learner. If you're arrogant and think you know everything about everything, I guarantee you're going to fail. The most successful people in the world study every single day. They never let it slide. So collectively, these are the seven blades of good fortune. And this is what I work with. The reason I cultivated this was for me, because I wanted to know where I should be focusing on my personal development. But it seems to be a tool that's useful for a lot of people.
I think, I've just been sitting here, and this is genuinely the first time I've heard this, everyone. So I've just been sitting here sort of nodding along to everything you've just said. And for me, you know, we seem to be in a time where there's two sort of versions of ourselves. There was the pre-COVID version and there's the post-COVID version. And, you know, the maybe the more that gets forgotten about the COVID version, the better. But for me personally, if I rewind 3 years to you know, well before a COVID pandemic was even, you know, a drop in the, it wasn't even a sparkle in the world's eye. And I think about, yeah, you know what? I used to read books and I used to podcast regularly and I used to do this and I used to do that and I used to do the other. And you fast forward to now and I almost seem to have forgotten what those open quote elements of personal development are or were that I had back then. And I think that's one of the worst legacies of COVID to the entrepreneur is that for those of us that needed just to keep on going through this whole period of time, because we had families to support and, you know, our businesses didn't stop, other businesses relied on our business. So, you know, the world changed. There was this massive breakdown of personal boundary between kind of the work life and your not so work life, where essentially a lot of this stuff happened. And yeah, for me, I was just nodding along thinking as you were saying all these things, or, you know, going through each of those blades, thinking, yeah, you know what? I used to do X for that, you know, that would fit in that blade, and I used to do Y that would fit in this other blade over here. And right now, as we're emerging out of COVID, I think there's the need for some of these negative traits to, which aren't anybody's fault, by the way. I'm not saying that, but there needs to be this refocus on putting some priority back on yourself now that you have the freedom to do so once again. That maybe sounds a bit preachy, but yeah.
It doesn't at all. And I think one thing that I've really come to understand, I've come to accept, and I've now come to celebrate, is that everybody's different, and that there are people who will listen to this episode and they'll go, I need to go somewhere else. This is not for me. This Bob Gentle guy, he's talking about personal development and I'm not interested. And there are others who will listen and go, yeah, that's what I need. I want to embrace that. And I used to struggle with some people are going to listen and they're not going to like me. And I came to realize very quickly that actually it wasn't quickly. It was slow and it was painful that if I want, I'm going to talk physics for a moment. There's this whole E equals MC squared. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Mm-hmm. And if I want to have a really strong force of attraction, I can't have it unless I'm willing to have its opposite. So if I'm not actively turning some people off, I have a problem. And that for me was hugely liberating. And that's why I'm saying there will be people who listen to this and they're actively turned off, and that's okay. But you're right. There are a group of people, probably a third of people who are listening to this, that are going, finally, it's not about the tech. It's not about the tactics, because I've been banging my head against a wall with that for years and I'm getting nowhere. I've been to networking events. I've tried to give people referrals and it's just not working. I need something different. And I hope that for a lot of people, this is it. Because as I sort of bring it back to the beginning, 100% your business will grow when you grow. And I think anyone that's hugely successful or even moderately successful can't possibly deny that that's the case.
Mm. No, so true. So true. So if you are the listener that that is the third, that is like that. No, I'm kidding. But we've covered quite a lot in this show, and some of it's been quite deep, which I'm perfectly happy, you know, with that. That's that we need to talk about some of this stuff. But you have put together a pack that covers some of the leader brand stuff and the seven blades. So if people want to go and download that, then they can go and get that from your website.
Yeah. I've put together a simple leader brand roadmap that if you are running a business or you're in any kind of leadership role, then this will give you a step-by-step areas to focus on in order to build that really clear visibility for yourself and the authority that goes with that. And then what to do with it. And alongside that, there's a little Seven Blades of Good Fortune cheat sheet with a super swanky diagram and a few prompts as to what you might want to look at if you did want to sharpen one of these blades. Cool. And you can get that. I have the domain, theseven blades.com. That's not being used for anything, so I'll put it there.
Fantastic. Well, wherever it is, there will be links in the show notes, and the intro and outro to the episode will tell you exactly where those show notes are. So, Bob, it has been an absolute pleasure, and I knew it was going to be, and I knew you'd be a pro. So, just to sort of finish us off, obviously you've mentioned that the7blades.com, people can obviously find you there when that's a thing. But if people do want to connect otherwise, where do you hang out most? Where is the Gentles hideout?
You will find me on every social media platform, either at Bob Gentle or just search Bob Gentle. I'm the only one. There is one other, and he did all the backgrounds for Scooby-Doo and things like that.
Really?
Yes.
You see, I get confused with an Aussie Rules football player. That's the other famous Pete Everett. Although I am ahead of him in Google.
Well, I am now as well. It took a while. And my website is amplifyme.agency, although it's pivoting across to leaderbrand.co. So depending on when you listen to it, it'll be there. But just search Bob Gentle. I'm super easy to find. And I have a podcast too, which I would be thrilled if people came to listen to. It's the Personal Brand Entrepreneur Show, in all good players.
Fantastic. Mate, thank you so much for your time being on the show. You're an absolute legend, as always. I believe I'm talking to you tomorrow, actually.
Yes.
No, it's tomorrow.
No, it's tomorrow.
So until tomorrow, thanks, mate, and I'll see you soon.
Oh, thank you very much for your time. You are an awesome host, and I'm thrilled to be back.
Oh, thank you very much. You're very kind. Cheers, Bob. See you soon.